that works, that's good for your life. It was hard for me to start giving the 5 to 10 for the work of darkness that I didn't know what I was doing at that time. I was deceived. It was hard to do what was bad. And as I look at it, it's kind of hard to do what is good. It's kind of hard to do what is good, the right thing. Some of you all know the right thing about your eating habits, and you're still eating like you want to because it's a discipline. It's a discipline. Some of you know you should be exercising and you're not. It's a discipline. It's something that is hard, even though it's something good for your life. And I believe here this morning, by the statistics of what the records show on the giving of the tithes and offerings of the church, that a lot of you are really struggling within this area that is good, that can bless your life, that through the struggle in the beginning and by stepping out by faith here this day and by stepping out, it'll go from the $5 to $2. That $2 stuff and putting $1 in the basket, you got to stop. You've been doing it for years. That's what my mom and dad used to get me to put a handful of change or a dollar or two, and I felt like $1 million. I still did not know the worth of money. And I would go and put it in the basket. It was a basket on a long stick that they would do in the Catholic Church, and it would reach all the way halfway in the aisle. And if another kind, the usher would reach the other half of the aisle, big old long one, and it would come back slowly, and everybody would be dropping it. I believe here this day, if you listen to God's word and the importance of tithes and offerings, that even if it's something hard, you can grow in it to where it becomes a lifestyle. Where it becomes a lifestyle. Where you become a transmitter, an example, a model of the tithes and offerings and being a giver. Amen? Some of you are saying, you're talking to me, Pastor. You're talking to me. Make the altar call. No, I want to give you instructions how to take that step. And the consequences of not being a giver and not giving what belongs to the Lord. What righteously belongs to the Lord. You've been liking the messages that have been being preached lately. You need to like this one also because it's from God's word. It's the same God that is speaking this word here this morning. Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. At this point, they're in the promised land. They've crossed the Jordan. They've had victory at the great city of Jericho. A great victory had taken place. They were on a momentum was taking place. Everything God had said to Moses and everything Moses had said to them of what would take place if they would remain in obedience to the word of God. God would tell Joshua, just back up the monitors just a little. There's a little hum coming from the monitors right now. I know you all can't hear it, but I can hear it, and it throws me off. They were having momentum in everything that was said through Moses by God, through Joshua by God. It worked. Walk around the city 7 times and yell. It worked. The instructions were crazy instructions that brought down the walls of Jericho. And sometimes, because we've been so wrong for so long, we can think that the instructions and the ways of the Lord are crazy. I ain't doing that. I'm going to be broke. Some of you are broke right now. There's not a consistency in the finances coming into your house. Joshua 7:1 says, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. You don't have that in the simple translation, do you? Can you put it? Or no? Is that it? Look at this translation, simple translation, the New Living Translation, right? It says, but Israel was unfaithful concerning the things set apart for the Lord. But Israel was unfaithful concerning the things set apart for the Lord. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7, verse 2 to verse 5. The Bible reads, but Israel was unfaithful to the Lord. Joshua 2:2. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the city of Ai, east of Bethel, near Bethel. Even when they returned, they told Joshua. Remember, they just had a big victory right now. They had a momentum, amen. They were pumped up. It's a small town, and it won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 of us to destroy it. There's no need for all of us to go there. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed, fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Here we see them becoming overconfident. Everybody in the land had heard about the walls of Jericho coming down and how God was with them through the new leadership of Joshua. He sent a few out. They said, man, just 2,000 or 3,000 ought to do it. 2,000 or 3,000 ought to do it, man. We can take them. A lot of times the Lord starts doing something in your life great. He starts blessing you. He gives you a good job. You're doing great, but you forget what the Lord took you out of. And a lot of times we can become overconfident that I don't really have to make all the services. I gave last week. I don't have to give this week. I'm doing good. And here they went to spy the land out, sent 2,000 or 3,000, and they were whooped. See, a lot of times when we have confidence and there's some momentum, we can let our guards down. And I believe the spies that went to spy the land out didn't do a good job in spying the land out. And I believe Joshua sent the right men to scout out the land. They're dealing with the king of Ai. Why can I say they didn't do a good job? They were overconfident. They weren't strategic. They weren't really looking at all the areas of Ai, the king of Ai. They weren't really doing their job. A lot of times when things are going our way, we can let our guards down and not really do what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. How do I know they didn't do their job? Let's go to Joshua chapter 8, verse 25. Joshua 8, verse 25 says, 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai. They would regroup, amen. But this, I go to this verse, they would go back to fight Ai, doing it the right way. Amen. But what I want to point out here, I'm not getting ahead of the story, is that there was 12,000, including all of Ai. When they went in obedience, they all got killed. But the spies that went out were so confident, says, man, 2,000 or 3,000 ought to do it. Sometimes we say $2 or $3 ought to do it. We're more worried when we go to a restaurant not to be embarrassed in front of a waitress to make sure the 15% tip is correct. I've seen many of y'all even pull out your phone to do the math and everything to make sure you don't want the waitress thinking that you're a cheapskate. So you want to make sure you give that 15%, 10% or whatever it is. I have no problem in giving the correct tip. Amen? Because I know I give unto the Lord correctly. I have no problem paying that 15%. But I believe a lot of times we're worried what we look like in front of people instead of worried what we look like in front of our Savior that has positioned us in victory with His word and instructions. So here we come to find out, jump way ahead of the story, there was 12,000 people there. That brings the odds 4-1 because they only sent 3,000. The odds were 4-1 that day. And not only were the odds 4-1, but they went into that battle against Ai without God's favor with them. See, a lot of times we'll be in battles where the odds are almost always against us in making it. But with God on our side, His word says there's more of us than there is of them. So it's very important in this equation that of tithes and offerings that God be in our life. Because almost everything we approach in life got us outnumbered, outgunned. Especially with backgrounds such as the ones we got. Here they were not only outnumbered 4-1, God wasn't with them. And we're going to find out through the story that God wasn't with them. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, these were the instructions that were given by God to follow after the great victory of Jericho. These were the instructions of what to do with all the loot, all the silver, the gold, their belongings, men, women, and children, those instructions that were to be followed after God would give them the victory. How many got the victory here this morning? There's instructions we need to follow in order to continue having victories. And that's why so many people just make it for a season. They have victory in their life, and everything that God has done is not acknowledged. Miguel, can you come here, please, real quick. We forget, and before you know it, we're defeated again. Instructions were given. God was sure that He was going to give them the victory. But there was instructions given that would follow the victory. Too many here want the victory, but you don't want to follow instructions. Too many want to be blessed, but I always say the blessings come with a ton of responsibilities that'll make you cuckoo. Be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. Comes with a lot of responsibilities. Comes with people. Deals with finances. It's hard. And that's why we need to follow instructions and be obedient. Not to your pastor, not to Joshua, but to God that's speaking through your pastor right now. I'm the voice that God is using right now to speak into your lives, not only to have victory, but be able to be responsible men, women of God, Be responsible youth that will be obedient after the Lord gives you what you've asked for. To be obedient, to follow His instructions. Too many times we get the victory and we don't want to be obedient. There's consequences. In Achan's life, as we go into this story, there was great consequences that followed because he did not follow instructions, even though he was the man of God. And that day at Jericho, he and his family had victory. But they would respond to the instructions of Joshua that God would give in disobedience. Joshua chapter 6, 17 through 19. Obedience is critical if you want the victories to continue to come. Joshua 6, verse 17 reads, "The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites." I don't think that's the right one he had. I don't know why it's the wrong one. Give me a second. Find me where the Lord told me. See, I think it's there. 17 of, it's chapter 6, but I'm just reading the wrong area. It's correct. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord." You got that simple translation up there? Can you put that up there, please, if you have it? You don't have it? It's okay. It's okay. "The city and all that is in it are to be devoted." That means given to the Lord. Amen. "Only Rahab and the prostitute," Rahab the prostitute, "and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction." I want everybody listening right now. It says, "so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into His treasury." Those were the instructions that were to be followed after the victory of what to do with everything that that city had. Amen? It wasn't just to defeat them, but to do what was right before the Lord. And the next time they would fight Ai, he would say, "Keep it all. Keep all the sheep and the cattle. Keep everything." But this time he was saying, "Smoke everything. The only thing I want you to keep is the silver and the gold, the bronze. And those are the only things that I want you to keep and put into the treasury. Everything else, I want it destroyed." Joshua chapter 7, verse 10. We've read already that they were defeated. We're going to come to find out why they were defeated. Why they were defeated. Achan wasn't defeated by himself. All the Israelites that day were defeated, and 36 were even killed through one man's sin. Joshua 7:10. Let's go to the NLT, amen. It says, "But the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up, why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen the things that I commanded to be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, they have also lied about it and hidden the things among their belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now Israel has been set apart for destruction. I will not remain any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. Too many times we hold to the things of God that belong to God. Too many times we hold on to things that bring destruction to our lives. We know it's wrong, we know better, but we hold on to what belongs to the Lord and we put it with our belongings. As if God cannot see. Here at this point, Joshua didn't know who did it. Who knew who did it? I know who's doing it in the church because I got all the records of the tithes and offerings. I'm almost like a mini God, knowing who's giving faithfully and who's not. There's times we hold on to things of destruction. Finances that have been given by God as seed to bless our lives and to bless others. But when we do what is incorrect with these finances, it brings destruction not only to our lives, but destruction to our families' lives. We raise our children showing them how to be an unfaithful giver. We're poor examples within this area that brings destruction when it's meant to bring blessing. When it's meant to bring blessings to your life. When it's meant to be obedient unto the Lord. That has given an instruction, not only the victory, but instructions how to continue to have the victory. It's not only bad things I put here in some of my little notes that bring destruction. It's not only bad things that bring destruction. Here are the silver, the gold, and the bronze that belonged to the Lord that he said to put in the treasury. Some of it was kept back. And what was to bless the Lord as an offering now brought destruction through one man's disobedience. You don't think your tithes and offerings are important to the Lord? You better keep on listening to this Bible study I'm giving you. The Lord knows the area of your giving. He knows exactly how you're giving concerning what you make. He knows exactly where you're at. We serve a heavy God. We're going to keep reading how heavy he is. You want him on your side, not against you. I want to know God as the God of blessing, not the God of destruction. Good things can become our destruction. Not giving what belongs to the Lord can bring destruction in your life. I've seen it so many times, men and women in the church, youth, radically get saved, get a good job, get their own place, buy a car. And I see them tithing and everything. All of a sudden, books say you can tell how somebody's doing by their tithing report. You can tell when somebody's about to leave the church if you really look at their tithing report. You can tell when people are going through it by looking at their tithing report. I've seen so many men and women and youth blessed of God. And with time get overconfident. They got 6 months now not doing drugs or a year or two now. And they feel this area is not really that important that they need to continue to follow. They're back on their feet now. They're not eating out of trash cans, slinging dope on the street corner no more. They're out of prison. They're out of the county jail. They're off-site meds. God's been good to them. But there's instructions that we need to follow. upon the victories that God gives our lives. There's a heavy scripture coming up. Joshua 7:13. I want in the NLT. I already read it. Amen. Let's go to the area. Nope, I haven't. I didn't go that far. Let's read it. Get up, command the people to pure. I want everybody focus on the screens right now. All right? Even if you got your NIV Bible. Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. This is God speaking to Joshua, letting him know that there's sin in the camp, and that's why they were defeated, right? But does God want to leave it like that? No, God says, we're going to find out who it is that purified themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. I want you to catch this next part. You will never defeat your enemies. That's plural. More than one enemy, amen? There's more victories that are needed, in other words, because there's more enemies. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. I put a simple point, giving what belongs to the Lord defeats your enemies. There are some enemies right now that are attacking some of you that could be ceased right now if you were giving properly. There are some enemies that the only way they're going to be defeated within your life is by giving properly what belongs to the Lord. What belongs to the Lord. And too many times we think we're smart enough, we're confident enough to say, I don't have to give the correct tithe. Watch out. Watch out. Even if you feel you're being faithful in this area, the man that would be disobedient didn't steal all the gold and all the silver and all the bronze. He just took a little bit back. He just kept a little bit back. It was just a little bit. He was just a little off. He was just a little off. I mean, it was so little that it fit under his tent. You'll never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. The instructions of the Lord to bless you, so when you go into your next battle, you will have victory again. How many just by chance think you might be facing another battle real soon? Raise your hands. Giving what belongs to the Lord defeats your enemies on God's timing. Well, Pastor, I've been giving. I still feel I got a lot of enemies. We have a lot of junk and there's a lot of enemies. It's plural. It's more than one. You want some of those areas that are holding you captive from being that more than a conqueror that God has called you to be? Start giving faithfully unto the Lord, not to Pastor Charlie. These are the instructions of God. They were not even the instructions of Joshua, even though he was the leader. There were instructions of God. Joshua didn't bring him the victory, and he knew that. He knew it was God. Remember the preaching a while back? He's seeing the hands of Moses up. What's where the victory was at? He knew that it was God. Some of you need to start waking up and finding out that you need to be a faithful giver. And this has gone on long enough. Unless you just want to continue fighting that same enemy that's going to whoop you every time. Unless you want that for your life, your marriage, and your children, your ministry. Unless you just want to keep fighting the same lying enemy that says you can keep a little bit back. just in case God don't come through. Just in case for a rainy day, hard times, I got a little egg to pull from that really belongs to the Lord. Let's see what this guy ripped off. Amen. Verse 21. I want everybody at the screens. Sometimes we do the dumbest stuff to be disobedient before God. Among the plunder, remember there was 12. Among the plunder, that was big money. Just put it that way, amen. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe. This is when they coming down on him. I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, man. 200 silver coins and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. Look what it says. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deeper than the rest. Here we speak of material things at times that we buy that we don't need. This to me represents the robe. It was from Babylon. He just had to have it. He had to have it. The 200 silver coins. The one bar of gold, he just had to have it where he took it. He says, I wanted them so much that I took them. It's speaking about material and finances. But you see, it speaks about the silver. It says the silver was put a little bit deeper. That's representing money. Sometimes we put the a little bit deeper in our pocket, a little bit deeper in our purse, a little bit deeper. And at the top of the purse, we have our chain little bag, you know, where all the change and everything fits in. But here, look what the man of God did for a beautiful robe. And sometimes we can just be missing the mark is sin. Missing it a little bit and still being in disobedience to what the Lord calls for that belongs to him. He's saying, I want to trust you, brother such and such. Sister, I want to trust you. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to see what you're going to do with it. I want to trust you because I want to hook you up. I want to give you more. But I'm going to start off with a little bit to see what you do with a little bit. They had a victory. Nobody was looking. Amen. And he went for a robe, some silver, and a bar of gold. Sometimes the things we hold on to fall into destruction. Has anybody been there before? I'm looking at Chris standing there, and he would be able to come and preach a message on it right now. And I warned him all through the process, but now we talked again in my office real good. He said, I know what I got to do, Pastor. I know what I got to do, man. I know what I got to do. Sometimes we think the instructions of the Lord are not important. And little did we know when they're not followed, it could be your destruction. I could see how being destroyed by drugs and alcohol, the opposite sex, but by the Lord. It belonged to the Lord. He sees your marriage. He sees your children. He wants to bless you. But he says, this person cannot be a good representative of my blessings. They're gonna represent me incorrectly if I keep blessing them. And I always say that he'll give you a little bit more than you deserve to see what you're going to do with a little bit more. You're going to put it with all your belongings under your tent? Well, anyhow, this cat thought he got away with it. A lot of you right now thinking you're getting away with it. Oh, you want God to be there to protect your marriage. You want God to be there at 3 a.m. in the morning if your child needs help or somebody's sick. But right now, you would rather God not be in the temple while this message is being preached. You would rather God say, God, can you please leave the room? Pastor is stepping on my toes right now. This is confidential, God. Could you please leave the church? Could you please step out of your house real quick? God, pastor is speaking on an area that I'm well aware of and I'm in disobedience in. Then came the process, the interrogation that they would do to find out who was the one that sinned or how many sinned, right? We go to Joshua chapter 7, verse 14. Just to let you know, God knows everything. Even when Joshua didn't, Joshua just followed the instructions of God once again to screen the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen? It's like they walked through a metal detector. Amen? In Joshua chapter 7, verse 14, check this out, man. This is heavy. It says, In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward man by man. He who is caught with the devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Joshua and Judah was taken. Amen. I'm going to bypass that to bypass some time, but here, verse 17 says that the clans of Judah came forward. It was that Joshua would bring all of them before the Lord, and all the 12 tribes would just walk by, and the Lord would kind of nudge. Joshua says, it's Judah. It comes from. So out of 12 tribes, narrowed down to one tribe that had many clans and families in it, right? So they narrowed it down to what tribe it was. It was the tribe of Judah, which represents praise. See, there's times we should be giving God praise, but we're looking for a way to rip him off without getting caught. You're better off, your chances are better, revelation from the Holy Ghost, your chances are better off in going robbing a bank and might get away with it than thinking you can rob God and get away with it. Your chances are better being on the news saying that the bank got robbed and they got away with it. Because not all bank robbers get caught. But all God robbers get caught. I don't want to be known as a God robber. That don't even sound right. A God robber. Hey, what are you in here for? You're joining a prison, you're going to prison. We ain't for, oh man, robbed the bank. They caught me on the 10th bank I hit. I got snitched off. Yo, Holmes, what are you here? I robbed God. And I became a heroin addict again, a crackhead again. That's why I'm here. You need to know the root of the truth. The truth was that bank robber robbed God. And they're saying, I robbed all these banks. They don't even know the ones I hit. I still got money under my tent. God robbers. Chris asked me, what are you calling this message? And I don't know what I told him. It's smart to give or something like that, I told him. But I changed it. Chris, change it. Put God robbers. Really, I want to change. When they go, if somebody's going on the WW, all that stuff, the title of the message is God robbers. No, put all God robbers get busted. That's what it's called. That's the message. You got it? All God robbers get busted. Some of you still think you're nickel slick. Still got a little street game left in you. where your suit got little white and black stripes on it. You're on your way back to the penitentiary right now. The cuckoo house. You're on your way back. Why do you say that, Pastor? Why are you wishing that bad? You're a God robber. But the good news is God is able to forgive, amen, and put you lined up with his instructions, for he can take you into your next battle, your next victory, your next battle, your next victory, following his instructions that work and that have kept me for 18 years. Verse 17 says that the 12 tribes, Judah was singled out. And then they went to the clans of Judah, had to walk out before Joshua and the Lord, amen. And then the clan of Zerah was singled out. And then the families of Zerah came out. All this process, all this, man, they're narrowing it down, narrowing it down, narrowing it down. And then the family of Zimri was singled out, the Bible says. And then verse 18 says that every member of Zimri's family, person by person, so everyone was going through this lie detector, not metal detector. You like that one? We might call it that. We might change it to the lie detector. They were going through this metal detector, lie detector, God robber detector, whatever you want to call it. But we know that the detector was God. It was God that sees all things, knows all things. That's for our benefit, not for our destruction. It says every member of Zimri's family, person by person. Then at the end it says, Achan was singled out. Achan was singled out, the Bible says. And verse 19 and 20. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord. He's a bank robber. He's a God robber. He's all that, right? He's gone through the metal detector, the lie detector, and it's going beep, 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 beep. God said, this is the one. Man, I wish I could do that, man. Just line everybody up. Instead of doing the anointing line, we do the liar detector line. Everybody got to walk through it. But you know what? I'll save us the time. You don't have to do that. God's doing it right now. He's going through every aisle right now. And if you hear during the message when I'm preaching, beep, 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 you know, and then you get saying, it's her, it's not me, it's her. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel. And give him the praise. There's that Judah. Give him the praise. He says, give him what you're supposed to be giving. Give him the praise. Tell me, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. Achan at this point knows he's busted, right? He's busted. Achan replied, it is true. See, some of you got to say, it is true. I've been a God robber for way too long. And today, it is true. I'm going to come clean. I'm going to follow the instructions of the Lord because I know there's battles to come. And I want victory to victory to victory to go from glory to glory to glory. And I'm no longer going to be known in the church, known by God as a God robber. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't say, I have sinned against you, Joshua. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. 21 says, when I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. A little deeper, the other translation said, right? So Joshua sent messengers. They ran to the tent and there it was. I don't even know why they put the word hidden there because it was never hidden. He should have just put it on top of the tent, on top of his head. He ran to the tent. There it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. See, that silver that was in there, that gold was supposed to be kept, but it wasn't going to get kept. That was dirty. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle. Man, his cattle didn't have nothing to do with the bank robbery. The cattle say, man, we weren't even there. Man, we were looking the other way. We were eating grass. Well, what the heck do we have to do with Achan? That's his bad. Let him take the bullet. I ain't taking this one for the team. Cattle are speaking. The goats are speaking. Everything saying, man, I didn't do it. Your sons and daughters are saying, I didn't do it, mom and dad. You did. You've done this. You brought this destruction to our house. The robe, the gold, everything. Sheep, the sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, sheep. His tent too. The house came down. A divided house can't stand. His tent and all that he had. It sounds like this guy had money. As I read it now, he had donkeys, sheep, cattle. He had all kinds of stuff and still was not faithful. He had all kinds of stuff to show that God had been good to him and his family. His tent and all that he had in to the valley of Achor. Joshua says, why have you brought this trouble on us? You know how your kids say sometimes, Mama, you did it. Dad, you did it. Why can't I do it? Watch out, parents. In this area, they got you. It's usually an area the kids use incorrectly. Well, you did it and all that stuff, amen? My Elias, my Bianca, and my Alex can't say, well, you did it. Not after Christ, not AC after Christ. BC, I did it all and then some. I was even a devil robber. Thought I could get away ripping off the devil. I pay for it with destruction. Is that the last verse? And the old lady was there. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, where are we going? Where are we going? Sons and daughters, just, Dad, Mom, where are we going? I don't know. Just come on, man. Let's follow Joshua, man. Achan was taking all this in. See, the devil never gives the full truth of showing the real importance of the tithes and the offerings. He don't show how far it actually spreads like a cancer from one person to the next person, even your innocent children, your innocent belongings. He'll take your car in a heartbeat, and your car don't have a spirit, it don't have breath, he'll take it. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. We need to learn how to be obedient to the instructions of the Lord. They're real. Don't do an experiment just because it might have been working up to now. Don't do an experiment that might kill you, your wife, your children, and the calling of God upon your life. We need to know that we serve a real God that loves us unconditionally, that loves us and wants us to turn away from being a God robber, a family robber, a possession robber, and all the things that God has given us. I haven't lost nothing in 18 years unless I gave it away. I haven't lost nothing. I used to lose everything over and over. And I would lose everything bad with my life. I OD 15 times. Yeah, Miguel, I said it again. Dead as a doorknob. Hey, man, come on, devil. How much can you get for my body? Give me that hit and I'll die. I'll give you my life. There's some of you ex-junkies up in here also. Don't look at me like that, like I was the only crazy one. You're willing to die to get high. You're willing to give your marriage, your children, your house, your tent, the robe, everything in the house. You're willing to give it all for a puff. To be with that other woman, to be with that other man. You're willing to drop it like it was hot.
Was the 10% just a little bit dabbling with the devil, giving it all to him? Falling as a victim unto destruction. But then Jesus stepped in. The shepherd stepped in. The shepherd stepped in and said, he belongs to me. She belongs to me. Through grace and mercy, the shepherd, Jesus, steps into our lives and radically changes us, takes us off addiction. What had us getting high? Giving finances the wrong way. What's going to keep us high under the Most High? Giving in the right direction. It might be hard for some of you right now, but I want to let you know it can become a lifestyle. It can be a lifestyle to be blessed day in and day out, even when everything's going wrong. Still able to look around my house and say, I am a blessed man of God. I am a blessed man of God. I may not have a penny in the bank, but I know I've been blessed of God. Not from a job, but by God my life has been blessed because I have followed his instructions. And I have gone from victory to victory for following the instructions that followed the victory.
I don't know about you, but I hate to lose.
Some of you say, I'm just born to lose.
No, you ain't giving in the right direction. You're hearing the true instructions of the Lord this day through a Bible story.
My heart's thumping almost like when I was on drugs. Like, I'm going to pass out right now. Take my life. I used to tell the devil, take my life. Just let me hit one more hit. One more cura. Give him it. Tell Jesus, take my life. It belongs to you. Instructions in your word says, my life belongs to you. You can take it whenever you want to because it does not belong to me. And I know when you take it, it will be the very second you want to take it, not when the devil wants to take it. You can have my life. Take it. Here, Achan would make his confession. I did it, man. I sinned before the Lord. I did it. He copped to it. But his confession was too late. His confession was too late. He had plenty of time when all this integration, the 12 tribes were being taken before the Lord through Joshua's leading and all the families and all the clans. And he had plenty of time to say, hey, man, I did this. I did it. To confess by his doing. But his confession here came by force. He knew he was busted. See, right now, the Lord is going through the aisles right now. He's saying, I'm giving you time. I love you so much, I'm giving you time. And he's making his way. There's a process. There's the sowing and reaping is taking place right now. There's pruning taking place right now. There's some dried leaves and bushes being put to a corner right now in this church right now. God's moving. He's moving, and he wants you to come clean before it's too late. Telling you, think you can get away with it for another year of being a God robber. When the truth is, it's up to God. And he loves each and every one of us. Even though some of you are bank robbers, he still loves you. But he's a just God, a just judge, and he's going to have to deal with sin. In the Old Testament, he dealt with sin. I believe after that one, nobody messed around. The Bible would say that they would go back. Now cleansed, washed, they took their removed, the possessions that not only included silver and gold and the robe, but the family of Achan, even all his belongings down to his cattle and stuff. So now they were in right standings once again with God. And they would have a great victory. They would go back to the same place that defeated them. But this time they would take all their men. And they would have victory. Why? They would follow the instructions of the Lord.
We serve a forgiving God, a loving God that knows this area's heart to make a transfer, you know, from one account of the world to opening up another savings account, let's call it. A savings account where you can make a heavenly deposits. So when you need it, God is going to be there to back you up. He made his confession. It was too late. He had plenty of time. When they were narrowing it down, he had plenty of time to say, man, it was me, man. It was me. But he thought he was going to get away with it. He came all the way. He says, no, man, it's going to be my son. It's going to be my daughter. He went all the way to the end, man, down to the cows. Because he thought he was going to get away with it. Man, this is a quiet service, man. This is a time that I wish there was a crying baby or two in the church. Quiet, man. Where are them crying babies when you need them, man, to break the monotony up in here a little bit? The consequences of holding back what belonged to the Lord. Chapter 7, verses 4 to 5 says, kill 36 men. That had nothing to do with Achan's sin. Everything was token. I put here, holding back on your giving affects not only your life, but everything around us and also what we love. It affects it. It's affecting it, but it's happening real subtle. It's happening real slow because the enemy's crafty. He's a serpent. He's crafty. It's happening real slow. And here the word of God is waking us up right now to his truth, to his instructions. What's coming around the corner? I put here one of my little notes. The price he paid for his disobedience was much greater than 10%. Boy, if Achan could have turned that around and just say, man, if he could have just turned it around. A little bit of silver, a little bit of gold in a robe, man. He's, God, come on, God, it was just a little bit. Come on, man. Give me a chance. We want God to cover us 100%, but we can't give 10%. I put here in my notes, wow, cost him everything instead of 10%. Following the instructions cost him everything. Man, what happened to that family? Oh, the father went back on drugs. Oh, the old lady went back on drugs. Nah, it was none of that. The root. I believe, I put here, let me see how I put it. We see a lot of people come and go that fail. I believe one of the big reasons is of holding what belongs to the Lord. That is there to bless you. When you hold on, it brings destruction. I believe that's why the root of why many people get deceived is because they hold on too long what belongs to the Lord. Even when the Spirit has convicted them and allowed them to know that the truth is being preached right now, you're being held accountable right now. Say, Pastor, man, I don't want to be held accountable. Don't come to church then, because I'm going to preach the truth. That place was called in the NLT. 726. Or Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks. They stoned them, man. Back in the days, they were bad. They were gangsters, man. They'd pick up rocks, a lot of them. And with all the rocks out there, then they would use those same rocks to put on top of you, man. Can you imagine the rocks being thrown at their kids and their sons and everything? Man, I imagine it took a lot of rocks to take out the cows and stuff, man. That was a lot of rocks. That's why I believe he said something that they were by the quarry. Don't hang out by the quarry, man. That's the place where they get all the rocks from. I was wondering, why did they say it was by the quarry? Now I know. They needed rocks. They had stoned the rest. They burned them. Over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. You want to get the Lord angry? This is one way to do it. Amen. I'm not here to break 1,000 scriptures down. There's one way to do it. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. I need the simple translation. It's a simple translation says, God, I'm slipping, Chris. I got him slipping. It was called the Valley of Trouble. And the simple, when you break that down, it's called the Valley of Trouble. How many of you right now are in the Valley of Trouble? In the Valley of Trouble. So that place ever since been called the Valley of Trouble. You have a way to get out of that valley, man, in responding to God. Don't stay in that trouble and say, this is just the life I've been called to live. No, it's not. That's a lie and that's a cop-out. That's the justification to simply not being obedient to the 10% that belongs to the Lord. The price of destruction is so much greater than the 10% people. Let's get the math right here to this beautiful day. Let's get the math right. I heard the little beeping going on. Did you hear it? Somebody, I heard it. I told you were going to hear it. I heard it. Beep, 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 beep. I heard it. We think it's not important. And we're taking care of the things that are important, the trouble in our house that is important, that the root of what you're trying to take care of, what's so important that's driving you crazy, is the not being a non-bank robber, God robber. You're taking care of areas. You're taking care of this area and this strife and this thing taking place in your life, in your family, when the root of it is the 10%. Joshua 8:6. This was the strategy in the next chapter where they would go back into Ai to attack again, right? In obedience this time, with God with them, right? And they would win. But they gave a big strategy of sending some 5,000 men, you know, to the front gates and then running away, amen, and then all of Ai would come out, and then they would have 3,000 behind Ai and an ambush that would come into the city with nobody in there. And that's the way the strategy that God would give them, how to take Ai over, right? But he says, they will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city. For they will say, they are running away from us as they did before. You know how much that ministered to me? See, the enemy is already knowing what some of you are going to do. You're going to run away from God's instructions like you did before. And before that, and before that, and before that. Always running in defeat because of a 10% God instruction matter. I probably wouldn't be able to say that again. Amen? For they will say they are running away from us as they did before. So, I've preached here this morning. The time is right. Closing the Bible. Amen. Too many times we're tripping out about all kinds of stuff, people. And that's why we overlook the tithes and offerings that belongs to the Lord. We had a great life group unity service yesterday downstairs. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. And Tanya would give the word. Tanya would give the word. And then Keith would give the word. Tanya would give it on worrying and tripping out. Amen. Being anxious all the time. Always worrying, worrying, worrying. And Keith would give it on change. But Tanya came with some little fancy notes. Amen. A lot of times we're worrying so much where we become the banker that we're robbing. Amen. The bank that we're robbing. Robbing ourselves. She had a little cheat notes yesterday talking about worries, amen, and how much we trip out on stuff that we shouldn't be tripping on, which is true. It says 92% of our worries are needless, she said, right? 40% of what we worry about never happens, amen? We trip on stuff, man, that drives us cuckoo, that never even happens. That's why the Bible says, tomorrow's not promised. That worrying ain't going to add a day or a moment to your life. Amen? 30% has already happened. You can't change it if you want to change it. It's already happened. 12% focus on opinions or situations that we cannot change. 12% of things that we worry over, we don't have the power and the authority to change them. She said 10% health that only gets worse when we worry about it. 8% concerns real problems we can fix. There's only 8% of things that we really have the ability to change and fix. I believe, don't quote me on it, but I believe that the tithes and offerings is one of those 8% things that you can change. That can allow God to step in to take care of the 100% of your problems. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I'm not just preaching a message. I know it works. All because I'm a giver, it's all easy. Nope, that's a lie. There's battle after battle after battle. See, most pastors ain't going to touch on that stuff. It's all the blessings of God, 30, 60. Come here, let me blow on you, man. Bring money. I want to rain money on you. By tomorrow, at this time tomorrow, you're going to wake up and you're going to receive a letter in the mail. It's Sunday, and they're saying that on Sunday, you know, on Saturday, Sunday, the mail don't run. You're going to receive a letter just going to come out of nowhere. But there's a condition. If you give right now, well, we're going to test the message now. We're going to test the instructions of the Lord right now. So can you help me say, by ushers, you can make your way forward. Say, ushers, you can make your way forward.
Mm-hmm.